I definitely appreciate the study. I just had a question about on one of your last comments about friendship. If I remember correctly in the Bible, Jesus talked about being friends in the same light as being a Christian. So is it possible, in a sense, to have friends that are not that are of the world? Or is that something that is also just as exclusive as being a child?
Good question. You know, Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do what I say." And, of course, that's speaking of that spiritual relationship. I think we use the term friend, obviously, in a variety of ways. And I don't have any problem using the term friend with someone who is not in Christ. I mean, that's a physical relationship. And it may be that the term friend, again, has dual meaning. It can refer to, you know, just a physical relationship we have with someone in the world, which, you know, but it certainly could have a spiritual connotation, at least for those in the church. But I'm not sure I'm answering your question, but I think, again, the term itself, friend, is a pretty broad term that, depending on the context, it might refer to a spiritual relationship, but it might not.
Up here in the front, Clint DeFrance.
Thank you very much, brother. That was very good. If we begin as children of God, because we're born sinless, and I know you said in some sense, so if we begin as children of God and then by sin become children of the devil and then by Christ become children of God again, then does the sin of a Christian make him once more the child of the devil? And if not, why not?
Good question. I believe the answer to that is a qualified yes. I believe that sin separates us. Now, John makes it very clear in John's epistle, 1 John, that there is a persistence in sin that the sinner or the worldly person will have. You know, I don't want to get, you know, the discussion of how many angels are on the head of a pen by saying if you just make one little mistake, are you in and out of a relationship with God? But I do believe there is a walking in the light, which is a constant, ongoing thing that is required of the Christian. And when we sin and we persist in that sin, we don't come to Christ and ask for forgiveness, then we become a child of the devil.
All right, then why does a person who apostatizes from the faith not have to be baptized when they come back to the Lord a second time? Why do they not have to be baptized a second time?
You're tricky. Why does he not have to be baptized? Well, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me, is it possible to be a child of God and a child of the devil at the same time? Because if one falls away from God and becomes a child of the devil, then how can he still be a child of God even though he's fallen away? Of course, you got the prodigal son in Luke 15, that he was still a child in some sense of the father, but without the attendant blessings of the father. He was separated from the father, though in some sense he could still be called the son of the father back home. In fact, he said, "I will arise and go to my father." So I suppose maybe it's one of those metaphors that you don't want to take too far or stretch too far. You know, there are some concepts in the scriptures that they make their point, but you wouldn't want to stretch them to a point of absurdity. And I think that's maybe one of those. I'll leave it there. Good question.
This will be my last little thing, but I think what you've said is right. That makes sense. Over in Genesis 6, you know, when it talks about the sons of God and daughters of men, and I think you've made a good case that sons of God in that context would mean people who are in a covenant relationship with God and obedient to Him. Well, in that passage, the sons of God and the daughters of men got together, and it corrupted the sons of God, and they shared the fate of judgment of the daughters of men. So it seems that you can be a child of God, but when you live like a child of the devil, then you perish as a child of the devil, regardless of what you have become.
Yeah, and very good point. And, you know, to those to whom Jesus said, you are like your father, the devil, they were Jews. They were God's chosen people, but they weren't living in such a way.
Over here, Dennis.
To whomsoever you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are, to whom you obey. You're obeying God, you're his servant, you're his child. If you give up that right of kinship, you can become the child of Satan because you're serving his purpose. You're doing his will. And even though you might be legally a child of God, you have forfeited that spiritual kinship by serving Satan. You know, in the Old Testament, several terms are used for God. Jehovah, Elohim. That shows his creative power and ability and how he is creator. And also Adon is used with reference to God, his lordship, his mastership over our lives. And I think that in the Hebrew that becomes a little bit more clear than sometimes we can do with the English conversion of the Greek, because Saul just translates God, God this, God that. But you had a very good presentation on how that God is our creator and the sustainer, and yet to be his child, we need to have the Spirit of God living and abiding in us.
I thank you, Christ Jesus.
I like your point about the Old Testament definition or terminology for God, Adonai, Elohim, etc. You know, so many terms are used. Each one of those terms carries a different nuance. And I think, of course, there's a purpose there. We don't want to stretch a term beyond its concept, but it's given a rich variety of terms, terminology, be able to see the various facets of God the Father.
In Hebrews 12, verse really 4 through 11, there's an entire discussion where God says, you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons, verse 5. And he addresses them in a spiritual kind of way. What son is there whom the father does not discipline, he says, and goes on. But in verse 9, does he switch? I'm just curious about terminology, because he says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Contextually, I don't think it can apply to angels, because then the parallel wouldn't be received by the audience. I think he's talking about them. But it seems that he's using the term father in direct relationship, probably in a creator kind of concept, to all of mankind, and saying, I am the father of your spirit. Now, the doctrinal ramifications of that is we get our genetic and possibly our physical life from our parents, but our spirit comes directly from God. Is this talking about the creator God here? Because contextually, he seems to be talking about the spiritual father. And then in that verse, he seems to switch.
Well, it may go back to this. I mean, I don't know. But it may go back to this concept of, you know, God is the creator of spirits, if we say it that way. But we're not separated from God at birth when we receive our spirits, or at conception. So he is, yes, he's creator, but he's also, I guess, father in the sense of spiritual at that point before we go astray. I have to think about that. I don't know. I didn't look at Hebrews 12 in that. Let me think about that.
Well, I have one more question.
Okay.
I personally, the only question whether I was studying that is he talking about angels or is he talking about us?
Oh, right.
And I think he is talking about us.
Yeah.
I think we get our spirits from God.
Yes.
Secondarily, I remember when studying the book of Ephesians, it continuously, there was a great emphasis in the book on God the Father. And most commentators say that this was because in Ephesus, because of the goddess Diana, or to the Romans, or the female deity or the Mother Earth
right.
concept was so culturally entrenched in Ephesus that he continually calls God the Father. So, I know this isn't your topic, but in emphasizing the maleness of God in the term Father, what do you think about that term as it's used in Ephesians at least?
Well, I mean, progenitor obviously is going to play a role there in the definition. Authority. Yeah, you're kind of the expert on Ephesians, but you think about the cult of Diana or Artemis, the paganism and the licentiousness of it. Everything that we believe about God is totally opposite of that. But as to why he, I suspect it's a contrast, but beyond that, I don't know. Yeah.
I think the creator authority, I think you hit on it.
Yeah. God is the progenitor of all, but...
And that's the common metaphor is progenitor.
Yeah. Good thought. Interesting. Yeah.
Someone else. We have plenty of time. All right. Brother, do you have any closing remarks?
No, I really enjoyed this study, though. I these studies kind of force you into things you normally wouldn't look at. But I appreciate Columbia, obviously, and the elders and leaders. I enjoyed it. Thank you.